Luke chapter 16, Brother Caden, can you come up here, please, sir? Caden, please come up here, buddy. Can you make sure that everyone that wants one, these are my notes. You don't have to have them to understand the scriptures. And if you can make anything out of them, could you help me? Luke chapter 16 this morning. Luke 16, thank you all for being here. What a blessing Sister Sharon is. Hey, yeah, I feel like that kid on the bus with a missionary in front, you know, getting all excited. Y'all ready to go to Romania? Amen. We understand gypsies around here because Jamie and I are, we have been, maybe not by true definition, but we've lived in, how many homes do we think we lived in? 15? Too many. We've lived in four different states, Indiana, Michigan, Mississippi, Florida. Yeah, we've lived in four different states and a whole bunch of different places. I kind of understand that vagabond idea. But isn't it amazing what God's doing over there? I don't know if y'all heard it or not, but I heard revival. I heard mission work. I heard there's a whole bunch to do over there. She could use some help. That's what I heard too. And thank the Lord. By the way, I don't care what culture it is. You let the Lord Jesus have preeminence. You let him have the stage, so to speak, put his name in lights, and he changes lives. And I'm so thankful for that. Amen. Even whether it's on Community or Paulson or right here on Schultz and Frederick or Mason, wherever you're at, it's amazing what the Lord Jesus can do. I used to kid him when I'd go up to Fundamental up at Kinross. I didn't know that the Lord Jesus come this far north. And they would laugh and joke. But, you know, I'm glad there's not a corner on this earth that can't be helped and changed by the Lord Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 16, if you would, in verse number 19. We were going to have some special music, but it's quarter till. By the way, Sister Lacey, we have a dinner right after. Would you please stay and eat with us if you're able, please? So what we do here, for those that are watching and here, on Sunday, we have Sunday school at 10, Sunday morning at 11. We have a dinner, and we have another little service right after that, and we go home for the day. And it's been a blessing and a help. And we try to turn our dinner time into the Waltons. And we have family time. Oh, hush up. Hush up. Okay? I'll wear my bow tie next week. No. Anyway, that's my little sister. And I treat her like that. Luke chapter 16. By the way, you can be from Indiana. You can be from Michigan, the UP. You can be from Arkansas. You can be from Florida. You can be from anywhere on this earth, even Chartucky, Mishabama, right? Charlotte, for those of you from Michigan. It doesn't matter where you're from. Lord Jesus will make a difference if you let him. Luke chapter 16, if you would, Luke 16 and verse number 19. Now, we're into a part of the book of Luke that many believe is just an illustration. It's not a true story. But I wish to tell you that this is a true story, and we'll show that from the scriptures, Luke 16 and verse number 19. The Bible says, there was a certain rich man. Now we know there that this is a specific individual. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and he was buried. Father, this morning, I pray you quiet our hearts and we'd be willing to hear and listen, and we'd get some help today. In Jesus' holy name, amen. If there's anything I'd like to bring out as we begin this story, it's a true story. And I want us to understand the opposites first. There are a lot of opposites. I can give you a couple opposites. For example, I'm extremely handsome and Brother Ray is not. There's just a lot of opposites. I am extremely smart. I'm a rocket scientist and Sister Margie is not. No, I'm kidding. There's opposites. There is two opposites that God made, male and female, and that's it. And as I've said to you, there's the evil folk have made other genders. But the point is there's opposites. There's tall and there's short. There's chunky and pudgy. And pray for me. I have 34 pounds to lose after back surgery. Miss Jamie's been feeding me really good. Well, and so is Sister Rachel and a few others. Anyhow, the point I'm trying to make there is there's differences. There's opposites. In this passage, this true story of a certain rich man and a certain beggar shows us opposites. But one of the things that remains always a standard, it always remains the same as the Lord Jesus. He never changes. He's God. I understand he took on flesh. He's the first 200% man that's ever lived. 100% God and 100% man. Could not sin, would not sin, cannot lie. He is holy and he is righteous, which in turn is an opposite to you and I. Anybody had to deal with somebody this week that thought that they had everything in a group? Did you deal with anybody this week that thought they were all that, then some in a bag of chips? Have you dealt with somebody this week that their armpits don't stink? Had you had to deal with somebody that thought they were just absolutely perfect? Now, there's only a couple perfect people I know, my mom and my wife. And I say that so I get plenty of hugs from my wife, and mama don't beat me every time I see her. I seen her on last Sunday and we had to leave, but I saw her on Monday and my mama still smacked me on the bottom. I'll be 57 this year, Mom. You're still doing that. Yeah, well, there was probably times I should have spanked you and I didn't. I got to see my mama. Now, my mama is about yay big. Well, you talk about opposites. Opposites. But this story of a certain rich man and a certain beggar has also been lied about. Many will say that this is not real. And the reason why they say it's not real is because hell is involved in this passage. Because the Bible is very clear in verse number 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man, he also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. I'd say that's an opposite. Now, I will tell you, according to Mark chapter 9 and much of our Lord's preaching, he spoke a lot about hell. Hell is real. Now, we're going to get to that part of it next week, so please stay tuned. Same bat channel, same bat station. Amen. This week, though, in introducing this true story, the opposites that are there are opposites like the certain rich man. He had everything. But the beggar, certain beggar, Lazarus, he had nothing. But he had more than the rich man had. A lot of opposites. A lot of opposites. There's a good basketball team and there's a poor basketball team. There is the Lord Jesus here. And by the way, this passage, if you remember right, in the first 7-8 verses here, he's speaking of a wicked master and a wicked steward. Just by way of summary, you remember the master came to the wicked steward and said, hey, you owe me, buddy. So what did that wicked steward do? He went to one that owed him and he had to give half. He went to the other one and he had to give more. Well, that doesn't sound fair. But what do we talk about the world system? World system's not fair. And I want you to know, when we looked at the prodigal son, when we looked at the corrupt and wicked son, the whoremonger of a son that he was, understand that the older brother's upset because he said daddy wasn't fair. Well, beloved, I want you to know I'm glad God's not fair. Because if he was fair, he would have been right. As soon as we were conceived in our mother's womb, he'd have been right to put us into hell. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God he didn't. Praise him for being merciful. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. There are opposites. Some have a lot and some have very little. And that's what happened here. We know from this passage that this rich man in the same stories being given is probably part of the world system. Now, the world system is a dog-eat-dog system. The world system is, as Sister Sharon this morning has told us about the system in Romania. And isn't it a shame that human beings are not seen as human beings in human being eyes? We see things so differently. We think things so differently. We joke and kid, and it is. It's all for me to get you to smile and give your muscles in your face a break. Now, there are some people on earth, if you get them to smile, they'd break every bone in their body. But just to get you to smile about being a Youper. I mean, I'm a Hoosier by birth. Although I was raised in Paris, Illinois, I was born in Terre Haute, Indiana. That's a very important thing I want everybody to know. No, ma'am. Well, you know what? I guess we've been here long enough now. 19 years later. I are a Michigander now. Now, I still am confused about whether I should wear green or blue. There's some opposites, is there not? If you say go green, I'm worried you got the flu. If you say go blue, I'm afraid you're dead. Opposites. The rich man had everything, but the beggar had nothing. Our Bible tells us that the rich man was clothed sumptuously. Let's go over to that passage, if you would, there. And it's in verse number 19. There was a rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He had the clothes of a king. He had the clothing and the colors of royalty. Had everything. And because of that, he thought he was somebody. What did he need God for? Over in the Matthew passage, we see a young rich man. He said, you know, I've obeyed my parents, and I've done this. I give to the poor. I'm righteous. I'm all these different things. What else do I need to do? The Lord Jesus told him, he said, sell all that thou hast and follow me. And the Bible is very, very specific in how he walked away. The Bible tells us he walked away sorrowful. Much of this rich man's life and that rich young ruler is very similar, not opposite, because this world's goods can never, ever, ever, never, 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 ever give you any peace, no hope, and definitely no eternal life. I don't know what your hobbies are or what your thoughts are. As you know, I love the martial arts. Amen. Love playing music. Love hugging my wife. Love golf balls and playing golf. Love being around my grandkids when they're messing with me. Sorry things. Love being around my children. Love those things. But there's never been a thing on earth that could save my soul. In the book of Hebrews, we find out that the Lord Jesus, and all throughout the book of Hebrews, the Lord Jesus is always better. Now, as you know, I like food. You know, the Lord Jesus is better than a cheeseburger. The Lord Jesus is better than a glass of lemonade and tea mixture. Those Arnold Palmers, by the way, there's never been an alcoholic Arnold Palmer. Arnold Palmer didn't drink. As you can get a good glass of Southern sweet tea, you know, 5 pounds of sugar per gallon of tea. Actually, it's about 2 to 3 cups, depending upon who's doing the ladle of the sugar into the tea. There are some great things of this earth, great things, great stories that a missionary comes and tell us, whether it's Sister Sharon from Romania, Brother Jeff Coat from India, Brother Carson going to Africa, Brother White going to the Philippines, to hear of the great things that are happening. Hey, there's some great things here. Today, I made 4 new friends. When I can remember their names, I'll let you know. Miss Mama Lacey, I got that one. Little daughter named Autumn. Son Emmerich. Did I get that one right? And now I'm trying to remember it. And brother has told me 5 times his name. What is it? Kenton. All right, I'll get it later. Right now, his name is Jethro. And it's such a blessing to my heart. There are some great things on this earth. But, oh, beloved, we do live in a day and age when there's a lot of opposites. We see it in the news. And by the way, your best thing to do is shut the news off. Matter of fact, I'd say you ought to pick up the good news to help you understand the bad news. Oh, beloved, today, a lot of opposites. The rich man, he was clothed. He had the best clothing on earth. And he had plenty of food. You know what that meant? He had a full cupboard. For those of you from Michigan, he had a full food pantry. How many of y'all got cans in there that you bought you never used? And if there's a food drive, that's the one you go grab and you give to somebody, right? Hey, beloved, God has blessed us. But this rich man, he had a full food pantry. You know, he had a full closet. How many of y'all got a full closet? I remember as a kid, we had two or three pairs of white tube socks. We had work boots and we had tennis shoes. We might have had two to three pairs of blue jeans, one belt, and a couple shirts. And all of that was probably hand-me-downs from cousins that were older. Oh, beloved, he had a full closet. He seemed to have no problems. You notice that? He didn't have sores. He didn't have this. He didn't have that. He had no problems at all, but he thought he had the world by the tail. He thought he was in charge. Then we look at Lazarus, the other opposite. Lazarus had nothing. You know, some of the greatest Christians I ever been around are the ones that have nothing. Because they realize they've got everything in the Lord Jesus. I've been guilty of wanting. Anybody else in here? If I buy one golf ball, I want another. If I get one pair of shoes, I want another. If I got one nice polo, I want another. If I got one tie, I want another. If I get a book, I want another. Right now, Sister Jamie has barred me from buying any new hats. You buy another hat, and I'm going to beat you with it. Y'all can see that, can't you? By the way, Miss Lacey, this young lady right here, her and I have been dating 40 years this August. But it's because of all my muscle and my extreme intelligence and the extreme handsomeness. Right, Sister Rachel? I better be careful here. I might be that short, arrogant preacher that Sister Sharon talked about. Amen. I better be careful. Hey, beloved, Lazarus laid at the gates. It's an opposite of where the rich man was at. How often do we're not thankful for the things that we do have. He laid at the gates. He was full of sores, so he had plenty of problems. Rich man, opposite, is fed by his servants. Who knows how many he might have had, but can you imagine he had a cook for this, had a maid for that, had a servant for this? Fetch me my shoes. Could you go get my royal coat? I've got to go out. Could you please go get my carriage ready? Can you imagine something like that? That's what the rich man had. He still did not have eternal life. He still did not worship God. He still didn't have an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled. Y'all, we came into this world with nothing. We're going to leave this world with nothing. The difference is the rich man, he had servants. The beggar, the beggar wasn't even fed from the crumbs of the rich man's table. You think that rich man was going to say, yes, please take my crumbs. But that's what he desired, the Bible tells us. You know, we have another woman, the Samaritan woman, speaking to the Lord Jesus. And she even said, we'll eat from the crumbs from the master's table. Boy, what an opposite. Have you ever been in that position where you had nothing to eat? I can remember if it wasn't for the eggs of the chickens on the farm or maybe another farmer that we worked for, we'd have had just eggs. Thankfully, the farm community would work together and you might have chicken soup that day, or you might have pigeon soup, amen, or you might have lamb, or you might have beef, or you might have these different things as the folks on the farm and as they all worked together and worked with each other. But he didn't even have crumbs. Have you all been at the back of a trailer getting cheese and crackers? I have. And you wonder about those things. And you wonder about, but what we had is we had a church house. We had a pastor that loved the Lord and loved us. He told us things we didn't want to hear. And at the same time, he'd hug us and take us fishing. I learned how to fish from my pastor. I learned how to do a lot of things. Learned how to worry from my pastor. Maybe that was my mom. Anyhow, a lot of good things and a lot of bad things. But boy, what a difference. What a difference when the Lord Jesus is the number one thing in that relationship. What a difference it makes. You ask that dear mom, that dear wife, that the husband has been a fool. Or that dear husband that where the wife has been a fool. Just recently, I heard of a pastor and his wife, after 42 years of marriage, they have not slept in the same bed in 20 years. She just packed her bags and up and left. That's happening all over the country. Pastors and all the different things. Why? They're not allowing the Lord Jesus. They think they got it all. Beloved, without the Lord Jesus, you don't have it all. These are opposites. These are opposites. To the world, the rich man was seen as being successful and righteous. I have been the most unsuccessful pastor in the history of Lansing, Michigan. To the world. To the world. You and I as Christians have been seen as unsuccessful if you don't have $10 million in your checking account. Well, we're not politicians and siphoning money where we ought not siphon money. Amen? To the world, the rich man was seen as successful. Boy, he had the success, he had this, he had that, but he still did not have eternal life. To the world, the beggar was rejected. Much of what sister spoke of with the, it makes me want to go over there and do is hug on him, make him a sandwich, make him a hallelujah, a big old peanut butter and jelly sandwich, my kind of peanut butter and jelly. My kind. You know what my kind of peanut butter? You don't use a knife to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'm just here to tell you, all right, this is a rabbit trail. I got to go on this, all right? You take the biggest spoon you got in there, you get you some peanut butter, you take you and you put it on there and you spread it around. If it ain't enough, you add a little bit more. I know ladies are saying, don't you be teaching my kids how to make that. That peanut butter sandwich, you got to put jelly on it. That's what it made me want to do today. Hey, they don't have anything. And the only thing that made them joy was a missionary, another person from another country come over and hug on them and teach them how to read. That's opposites. We can do that here. I mean, we're told to in the book of Acts is to go to Jerusalem, and that's where we live. And as a church, we're able to support missionaries and love on missionaries. We're going to feed Sister Sharon again. Jamie and I, we had some help, but we fed her yesterday. God's good to us here. We've got to praise Him for it. To the world, the beggar was not only rejected, but he was kicked aside. Oh my. I am so thankful that I was not left out, even though I rode on the bus to church. You realize 41 years ago. No, 50, excuse me. 51 years ago. And I'm only 25. They'd come by and we'd hear, honk, honk, old Bluebird bus. One of them old 1963 Bluebird buses. You know where the seats were lower so you could see over them? You know, it's a wonder we all lived through that. According to today's people, they think, oh, y'all drove on death traps. Oh, no. What they didn't understand is Mr. Goebel had been in transportation during World War II. He knew how to handle it. I thank God for that. Rejected, kicked aside, and abandoned. Much of the world is abandoned this morning. The leaders don't want them hearing about the Lord Jesus. Much of what she was talking about in Christians, let me say it, in America, you got to be thankful today we're not in fear of someone coming in here with guns and putting them to their head and pulling the triggers. But because of the Lord Jesus, He's given us a land where we can sit freely and open a Bible and read and study from it. Opposites. Opposites. Now, let's look at the storyteller. I'd say he's a little different, don't you? The characters of this story are a beggar man and a rich man. Rich man that followed after the world system, and now he is seen as this successful, righteous man. In reality, he lifted up his eyes in hell after he had died. And then that old beggar over there just laying there, who is the storyteller? It's the Lord Jesus himself. Y'all reckon the Lord Jesus could tell us some stories? As I was thinking about these notes and this story through, Lord God, how do we do this? There's about 18,000 messages just within these verses. And I promise you, I won't try to preach them all today. But over time, we can see some things. And I think we ought to understand the opposites that we have. You know, there are some opposites in the Scriptures. One in particular that I always go to when I need help. That I always turn to when I need some encouragement. When I always need to, especially when the enemy seems a whole lot bigger. I like to go to 1 Samuel 17. A little boy named David. 5 stones and a sling. Against a hardened warrior that was humongous. Now, a lot of people would say, oh, he was only just less than 10 foot. Well, that depends on which cubit you use. If you use English cubit, he's 9'9". But if you use a Persian cubit, he's anywhere from 12 to 14 feet tall. Huge. But any account, he's a hardened warrior, 5 to 10 times larger than that little old boy from the sheepfold. That little old boy from Bethlehem. Talk about opposites. And I want you to know there are times I need those opposites. See, the Lord saw that. You know, the Lord, he has seen so much and he knows so much. He saw both, the rich man and Lazarus. In this idea, when you read through Scripture, he knew when the rich man was conceived in his mother's womb. And when Lazarus was conceived, he knew when the Lazarus could no longer walk. As it looks to me like the beggar man here is laid down. He can't go nowhere. So what does that tell you? Maybe the legs are broke. Maybe he's not able to walk. Nobody wanted to help him. And I tell you, the Lord Jesus is a lot different than that rich man. You talk about a difference. The Lord Jesus is much like the story we read about with Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, remember, he was broken-legged, he was paralyzed, but as they were trying to run, his maidservant dropped him. He can't walk. And then King David says, is there anyone left of Jonathan's house? And my favorite statement in that passage is that he would eat from the king's table forever. What an opposite. The rich man wouldn't even do anything. You know, the Lord saw both of it. He saw both of them. How do I know that? He sees it all. He sees it all. When Sister Sharon goes back over to Romania, not only will his eyes be on her, but his eyes will be on me at the same time. When you're down and out and you're hurting so bad, don't you reckon the Lord Jesus sees it? He does. I am so thankful my Lord has seen it all. Whether it be Jamie and I moving to Pensacola with nothing. And Phil, oh, Sister Sharon, in February of 92, we had so much food given to us by a church, we had to put it in the closets. We had to put it under the beds. We had to put it out back. We had to put it over here. I don't know, have we ever run out of that? Even some 40 years later, 30 years later? Beloved, the Lord knows. The Lord not only saw both, but he knew both. He knew both. There may have been some opposites. There may have been differences. And there may have been one view from here and one view from there. But the Lord knew them both. What did he know? We knew the rich man didn't worship him. He knew the rich man hadn't believed on him. He knew the. And by the way, in this passage, they have Moses and the prophets. They know that there's a promised seed. They know that God's going to bring redemption. Now, they may have not have known his name being Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, son of Mary and Joseph, but they knew it was happening. They knew he was going to be born of a virgin. They knew these things. And the Old Testament saint looked toward the cross by faith. As you and I look back at the cross with faith, with the Word of God, right? What a difference. The rich man said, nope, don't need it. Why did he say he didn't need it? Well, I mean, he had these sumptuous clothing, closets full. I wonder how many pairs of shoes he might have had. He had shoes made of gator. He had shoes made of camel. He had shoes. Y'all get my drift? Yeah. But the beggar man didn't. but he still had more. He knew them both. Why? Because he knows it all. The Lord Jesus knows your needs right now. He's just waiting on you to ask him for them. Wow, where's that at? Matthew chapter 6. Are you willing to go to him with your needs? This year we're going to finish up 29 years of pastoring. I do it too. Please don't misunderstand me when I say this. But it's amazing to me how God is always the last person we go to. Why? When you know what you're supposed to do. I can remember a time in my life, I knew what I was supposed to do, but no, don't want it no more. I'm tired of dealing with it. Even the pastoring sometimes. Lord God, why'd you give Don Moss in my life? Lord, why'd you put Karis in my life? Oh, dear Lord Jesus, please help me. I don't know what to do with Ray Mills. I'm just thankful I've got those folk in my life. But in those 29 years, we are our worst enemy. Not the devil messing with you. By the way, you're not important for the devil to mess with you. You're not important. I'm not important. Well, the devil, he's been messing with me. Oh, no. Chances are your flesh has been making some really bad decisions. Amen. I mean, what kind of bad decisions do we make as kids? My grandsons will walk out barefoot when it's got snow on the ground. I know a church member, I dare not say her name, Rachel Mills, that will wear flip-flops in the snow. That just don't make sense. Seriously, though, y'all, the Lord knows both. He knows it all. Our biggest struggles, we just don't go to him. And it really is that simple. Would you not agree that salvation is simple? Lord Jesus Christ, you are the Savior. Save my soul. Forgive me my sin. Lord, I want to be different. And he's the only one that can make you different. It's that simple. It's that simple. Well, let me say this about being a believer. Lord God, would you help me be a godly man? Lord, would you help me to love Jamie with everything I got? Lord Jesus, would you help me to pray for my church family? It's that simple. Opposites. Well, let me finish with this. The Lord was there with both. Do you understand that the Lord Jesus would have saved that rich man's soul if he'd have just believed on him? And he had a chance until the minute he died. That's the mercy and grace of God Almighty. Church family, you know, it's even greater blessing to me is even if I don't mess up, he doesn't reject me. He doesn't kick me aside and he doesn't abandon me. Opposites. I want to ask you this morning, though, just a question, one question. When will you ever see that you have more in the Lord Jesus than you have in anything else? He made a difference in your life, Christian. What's holding you back from making a difference in somebody else's life? I wonder. Now, here's what I know about Sister Sharon. She ain't perfect. She ain't righteous in and of herself. And I would never, I'm not worshiping her, but I'll worship her God because he's mine. I wonder, would we be willing to pull up stakes and go to Romania? I tell you what, Christian, that's something to think about. Would you pull up stakes now and go to the UP and serve God? God called you to? I'm just thankful the Lord only had me come this far north. Could you imagine all the griping and complaining I do to 8 foot of snow rather than 8 inches? Hey, thank you, Lord Jesus. But I wonder, friends, have you ever thanked him for being opposite. Because he is. Do y'all realize he's never sinned? Do y'all realize he's never worried? Do y'all realize that he's always been righteous? I wonder this morning as we begin this study of the rich man and the Lazarus, do you appreciate the opposites? Do you recognize the opposites? Lord Jesus, thank you for this passage, and I pray it's been a help this morning. I ask you now, Lord Jesus, that we would appreciate you for what you have done differently in our life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying and arising again for whosoever. And thank you for including me in on that whosoever. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with our head bowed and our eyes closed. Let's stand to our feet with our head bowed and our eyes closed. If God's done a work in you, if there's something going on right now in your life, I don't know. Why don't you come down to this old mourner's bench? Why don't you come down to this old altar and give it to God? Are you struggling this morning? Need to repent of sin? Need to praise Him? Whatever it might be, the Lord Jesus is working in your heart. Would you come on? Come on, Christian. If you don't know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, I'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Because the salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ is a no-so salvation. It's a forever salvation. Oh, let me tell you, it's a hope-giving salvation. It's a blessed thing that the Lord Jesus does. It's a miracle because you and I can't save ourselves. If you don't know for sure, would you come on? I'd love to show you from a Bible how you can know for sure. How you can know for sure you have eternal life. You've been forgiven. Lord Jesus has saved your soul. No one comes in a moment. We'll end the invitation and go have us some dinner. God's working in your heart. Would you come on? Lord Jesus, you've been so good to us to show us the differences. This old world is definitely opposite from you. This old world gives us struggles and troubles, whereas you'd give us hope and mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being different. Thank you for being a holy different. Thank you for being a loving different. Thank you for being a righteous different. I'd ask now as we leave here and go eat some dinner, we'd be thankful for those things. Lord Jesus, again, thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If y'all want to stick around, we got dinner downstairs, so come on in, all right?